Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry on a day-to-day basis. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, it's a special Groundbreakers episode on Building the Bakken Radio, and we talk with Brian Kalk, Director of Energy Systems Development up at the EERC, talks about some groundbreaking technology involving CO2 capturing and agricultural greenhouses. Energy and Ag working together once again. Also, Justin Kringstad, Director for the North Dakota Pipeline Authority. We discussed the potential of shipping more oil out of the Bakken. You got to remember, we're trying to hit 2 million barrels a day here in the Bakken oil field. So we sit down with Justin Kringstad, Director for the North Dakota Pipeline Authority, to talk, is this a reality? Also, he explains some new technology about increasing pipeline monitoring and spill prevention. Also, Anthony Molzon of Aegis Flow discusses the increased investment into the UAS drone industry and how energy is one of the main drivers behind this emergent industry, the UAS unmanned vehicle industry, if you will. Energy is a big part of that, that driving factor. Also, the weekly Davis Refinery update. We got to go through all those dates once again because the public meeting in Dickinson, North Dakota is just right around the corner, January 17th. Dan Hetherington, principal over at SEH, talks a little bit about the air permit approval for the Davis Refinery and the public meeting, some of the details for that information. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Back and forth against the stone is the only way for the blade to be home. Then you finish it off with a leather strap. Then you lie in wait for your chance to attack. Cause you've been
I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you folks about a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. Leadership matters more than most things, and when a leader gets better, everything around it gets better too. The folks from Hatch Coaching are part of a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. You're going to want to be a part of it, folks. Right now, leadership is changing, and Hatch Coaching is leading the way. The World-Class Leadership Summit is happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. For more information, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Now it's easy to see how I could become.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dan Hetherington, principal with SEH.
So I wanted to
wrap up here. So, okay, I just want to just kind of bullet point very quickly here. Okay, as far as I know, the North Dakota Department of Health issued this draft permit, asterisk, public meeting. Normally it's a 30-day period because of the holiday and the importance of this. They've extended to it a 45-day period, so right around January 23rd, 25th, something like that is when it ends. But as of right now, they issued the draft permit for the Davis Refinery. There is a public comment period, and if that's true, what's the next steps?
So you're absolutely are true. That absolutely is true. So the public comment period, It does last, you're exactly right, until January 26th, I believe it is. And then on the 17th, we're going to have a public informational meeting and a public hearing in Dickinson at the university. And we'd love to see people, you know, that if they're supportive, we'd love to see you. We do understand that, you know, just the nature of this stuff, when people support it, they tend to stay home and say, you know, good luck. I hope they make this happen. And then, unfortunately, some of the people who are more opposed to the project, they show up. So we'd be thrilled to death to see people come and help us, support the project at the public hearing. But if you can't, a little letter would be great. So what happens after that time period is that the department will go through and they'll evaluate all the public comments. And then at that point, they'll make a determination of whether or not some of those comments are valid or justified or relevant to the air emissions issues at all. And then they'll make some potential conditions or something on the permit or something like that. But we would hope that after all of that time and they review all of those comments and respond accordingly, we would be very excited to see the permit issued, you know, sooner than later. But we do understand that's going to take a little bit of time. So.
Okay, and that is public comments in Dickinson, North Dakota. And what day was that again? January
17th. And it's at 5:30 at night, and that's mountain time. And so it'll be 5:30 at night on January 17th. And it's actually at the Dorothy Stickney Auditorium at May Hall at the Dickinson University, right there in Dickinson.
And that's a Wednesday. Okay, so Wednesday, January 17th. I remember that Stickney because when I interviewed Terry O'Claire, he recited the same information. So again, if you go to thecrudelife.com and click on the website, we'll have the information there, as well as keep an eye on our social media, bakken.com, and the Crude Life social media. We'll be keeping you guys posted there as well. Okay, Dan, let's wrap her up here. Anything, final thoughts, anything we left out, anything we want to reiterate, anything that you want to, you know, kind of talk about here as we wrap it up?
Well, I guess just to kind of the things that are going through my head, you know, that we're very excited about where we're at. This is a very highly, highly regulated project. This isn't something you just decide on a whim that you're going to go and build a refinery. And what we've seen is, you know, the county has been very supportive of us. We've got, you know, the zoning and the conditional use permits that are necessary. We've got the water folks have offered our permit. Or, you know, to us, that's still, you know, in process. Our air permit is going very well. We're just thrilled with the amount of support and the way people are looking at this as a great opportunity for not only the locals in North Dakota, but for the country as a whole. So I'm just very grateful to everybody who's been helping out.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Henrington with SEH or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
You sit in your piano in your purple party dress. Everyone who's ever met you knows exactly what's next.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab.
Watch it shine so bright underneath the stage lights. You've been up all night driving home the corner your whole midnight. Watch it shine so bright in the candlelight.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Brian Kalk, Director of Energy Systems Development for the Energy Environmental Research Center. What didn't get very much traction back then, which I'm going to ask you about right now. I used to say that, if we could take these coal plants, somehow figure out a way to pipeline the CO2 into the world's biggest greenhouse, North Dakota would have a year-round agriculture crop. And then I'm hearing Burgum talk about the blueberries up in Iceland. So actually, some of these little crazy ideas are starting to come to fruition, aren't they, Mr. Kalk?
Oh, absolutely, Jason. Actually, we've got a project in North Dakota that's doing just that. It's dealing with one of the coal companies again, and there's a private farmer that is offered to use up his land. The EERC, we're doing some work with the carbon capture. North Dakota State University is doing some of the work on trying to find the right amount of CO2 for the plants. But yeah, within the next year, we're actually going to have a greenhouse producing fruits and vegetables in North Dakota during the winter. And so, no, it's happening. I mean, it's not a large enough scale to do much with the CO2, but it's the other side of the value chain. If we can, you know, grow locally produced, products like that, it's got to be a win-win. So, I mean, that's where, you know, there's a lot of passion by the people that work up here. And I'm trying to, you know, link the experience that I have and the companies that I know from my regulatory days to what the research components have available to what might be out there if people want it. I mean, it doesn't do much good to invent something that nobody wants. So, you know, that's the space that I'm working in right now. I see a bright future for North Dakota in all these areas, but what it takes is it's steady, you know, slugging it out. We probably had the boom kind of hit pretty quick and trying to lay an energy future that's going to continually produce oil in North Dakota at a level that we can move, not just a huge spike where we got problems with rail and pipelines and all this. You know, the infrastructure is in place right now to move 2 million barrels of oil a day between the Dakota Access Pipeline and the other pipelines in the state, as well as the rail. We could move that amount. So let's figure out how to produce 2 million barrels a day for the next 30 years instead of producing, you know, big peak and then a valley, and what we can do with the coal, what we can do with the wind and the grid, energy storage. I mean, we're working all kinds of those things up here, not just fossil. We're working on the other side of the equation, too.
Dr. Brian Kalk is with us. He's with the EERC, Energy Environmental Research Center, up in Grand Forks. He's the Director of Energy Systems Development. You know, it's interesting you bring up the greenhouse that's going to be out next year, growing fruits and vegetables during the wintertime. To me, that's a great start because, you know, you mentioned that there's not a big market maybe right now, but as you get going with things, you know, Amazon and Walmart are trying to figure out ways to get, you know, whole foods and whole fresh fruits and vegetables into rural areas as well as some of the smaller communities. So for me, I see like farmers markets and things like this, that anytime you produce fruit and vegetables that are healthy, the market will come to you at some point. That's just kind of the way it goes. But the reason I kind of wanted to bring up that example was layering in some other industries to solve, you know, some of these things that are going. And I look at the energy industry, and it's amazing how technology is being layered in there. You're up in Grand Forks. You got the Laird Library. That's the old, this is where all the oil is from the 50s library, which the oil companies absolutely love. Then you got NDSU, which is creating a lot of analytics for a lot of different things, whether it be drones or whether it be drilling. They're really doing a lot of computer science down there. And then, of course, you got the western side of the state. Talk to me about how all these different entities are working together to produce an ecosystem in North Dakota.
Well, to be candid with you, Jason, it is a challenge to link all the different research components to get them pulling the same way, because you have, you know, personalities that play at every college, and you've got, you know, working for scarce resources. That's one of the things that I think that, you know, I'm committed to doing that, and the EERC and NDSU Extension have worked together for a long time. So I think what you really have to do is you have to elevate the discussion a little bit and figure out, okay, what is each college good at? What is each research center good at? And then we put together these proposals that have a better chance to get funded if we're going after, you know, Department of Energy work or Department of Transportation work, because you know, we have great colleges in the state, but let's be candid, we're small compared to, you know, the Dukes of the world. So they really, I've noticed with, you know, Governor Burgum has been very good about talking about that, saying, yes, NDSU and UND, we should be competing in football and basketball, but in areas of research, we should work together. And I think about, you know, Williston out there in the West, what they can be doing, Dickinson State. And actually, I had a meeting with President Shirley at Minot State here a few weeks ago, and they've got some really smart energy economics people at Minot State that we're hoping to incorporate, because we don't have that kind of skill set. So I think the first thing is the willingness to work together, and I think that is developing. And let's figure out what each college and associated research arm is good at, and let's put together the best proposals we can and figure out what industry needs and work together. I mean, it's a little bit Pollyanna, but I think that's the right choice. And, you know, when resources are down, it forces people to work together. So that's probably a good thing.
How about the world of pipelines? Are you guys doing much up there with the world of pipelines, either from a research side of things, from a spill management side of things, from a polymer side of things? Anything up in the ERC in terms of pipelines, either on the natural gas or the crude oil side?
I would say everything you talked about, we've got somebody working on it. There was one of the things that came out of the legislature the last session was asking the EERC to go through and do a technology assessment of what technologies are out there for increased reliability for pipelines. How do we quantify what's a hazardous consequence area? And so we've got a group of folks that's working through that right now, trying to basically do a matrix of, okay, this is what we consider a more or less hazardous pipeline based on a whole bunch of factors, and trying to develop some kind of matrix that companies can use. You know, a lot of that stuff is already out there for these major pipelines. Like when you talk about Dakota Access, I mean, something like that doesn't get built unless there's, of course, like, you know, the PSC review and all the federal laws into place. But one of the challenges we're working on is the gathering lines for crude and produced water. So we're spending a lot of time there. And then the next thing is, you talked about Tommy Kenville. I mean, we're working with Tommy and some other groups about ways to use the UAVs as basically an overhead eyes on, and linking the sensors that may be applied to the pipelines to the vehicles, and all this data manipulation. It's just, it, you know, I can keep droning on, I guess, Jason, but to answer your question is, yep, a lot of stuff's going on.
Okay. How about this? This will be just kind of the last question here. Brian Kalk, Dr. Brian Kalk with the EERC. You know, year end is kind of coming. Like I said, we're getting into our year end review shows, that sort of thing. From our perspective, we're actually calling 2017 the year of the refrac. It's almost like the refrac really made its way from our perspective. You're in a whole different world than we are. What did you see in 2017 that really, if you were to say 2017 was the year of XYZ, what would the XYZ be in the world of energy from your position?
Well, I would say that it starts back to the election of 2016. I mean, I think that the energy future of North Dakota would have been bleak under President Clinton. I mean that with my whole heart. I mean, I came from the Republican side of the aisle, but I'm speaking as what I really believe in the energy industry, because President Trump getting elected, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on about him and that and everything, and who knows what's all true. But here's what I do know, is that the overarching threat of regulation that would have shut down our coal, the Dakota Access protest that the new president came in and said, this is crazy, this is a good pipeline, let's get the oil moving. The tone that's changed out of the federal level has really helped states do what they need to do. So I would say year of 2017 is the year of the energy reset, where companies can then look at what is the best for your state.
To listen to the full-length interview with Brian Kalk, Director of Energy Systems Development for the Energy Environmental Research Center, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Queen of the yard, not minding anyone, but the farmer's wife had set the pot to boil, and the dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention too. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
That hand should have seen it coming. A hatchet and a bunch of black. But she was too wrapped up, strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you folks about a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. Leadership matters more than most things, and when a leader gets better, everything around it gets better too. The folks from Hatch Coaching are part of a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. You're going to want to be a part of it, folks. Right now, leadership is changing, and Hatch Coaching is leading the way. The world-class leadership summit is happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. For more information, visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you. There's always an eye on you.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Justin Kringsted, the director for the North Dakota Pipeline Authority.
And so from an industry perspective, from a state perspective, from a royalty owner perspective, all of those parties now are benefiting by having that system in place. We're continuing to see fewer and fewer barrels being moved by rail car out of the region. Most of North Dakota's crude by rail that it continues to flow is moving towards the Pacific Northwest. There's some refineries there that are still drawn to those Bakken barrels for their operations, and so I do expect that to continue over some of the longer term, that we still will see some of these trains heading particularly to the West Coast. On the natural gas side of the world, the industry is continuing to meet their gas capture targets, but longer term, when we look at the growth going forward, we're still going to need additional processing plants. We're going to need additional pipelines to move that gas, both within the region, as well as natural gas liquids pipeline infrastructure being needed in the coming years to continue to move these products to market. So, again, as production moves forward and continues to grow, those midstream processing transportation needs are going to continue to grow as well.
When it comes to the governor, his speech was almost more like a challenge, if you will. That's how I looked at it. 2 million barrels a day, zero spills, carbon capture. Have you heard of any of these 4 points that the governor was kind of talking about just over the past? It seems like most of the energy things that he spoke at, he kind of bullet points those through. So are you kind of aware of this, and just kind of your thoughts on if you are?
Yeah, and so from my world, from the Pipeline Authority, not being a regulatory agency, so I do not get involved at all in the regulatory side of the world. I'm on the business development side. But if the industry in North Dakota, which it's entirely feasible, there are definite forecast models for North Dakota crude oil reaching 2 million and higher barrels per day in the coming decades. There is still a very optimistic outlook for total volumes out of the region. And so I don't think 2 million barrels a day is out of the question in any capacity. It's not difficult to model those type of scenarios of 2 million barrels per day or higher from North Dakota. And so, but from a midstream pipeline and processing world that I work in, that means we're going to need additional infrastructure in place. And so the industry right now is continuing to monitor all of the different metrics, drilling rigs, completions, well performance, so again that they can stay ahead of that growth curve and make sure that the projects are in place that need to be at the right time. So, you know, really right now the industry is again very focused on the growth opportunities going forward.
I love them. I think they're great. 2 million barrels a day. I agree. I think that's something that's achievable. I don't know what the reality behind zero oil spills is. I think it's a great goal to always go after, whether the reality is there or not. I don't want to be a buzzkill and say I don't know the reality behind that, because zero of anything is very difficult to do. Partnership with coal, that was the other one. Would that involve you in any way? I know it's pipeline, so I don't know if it would just through the rail system or what. Would the kind of the collaborate? I call it the coal collaboration that he speaks about. Are you hearing anything in your world about that?
Yes, absolutely. And even just yesterday, meeting with one of the midstream companies, CO2 was a definite conversation point. Other EOR techniques. This morning at the energy event, they had the lignite folks there as well, focused on how can we connect North Dakota's lignite resources, the CO2 that's produced, with the oil fields of North Dakota. And so the industry is very well aware of the fact that there are definite opportunities to couple and link those two industries. CO2 does work very well as a working fluid for enhanced oil recovery, and so the midstream companies, the pipeline companies, are interested in it for a couple of reasons. First, someone's going to have to deliver that CO2 or ethane or whatever working fluids are going to be used, and pipeline that to the field to get the whole distribution system built out. So we may be looking at an entirely new network of pipelines throughout western North Dakota. Secondly, those working fluids are used to produce more oil and more natural gas. And so if we have more fluids coming to the surface that need to be processed and handled and pipelined and moved to market. So from the midstream industry is very, very interested in some of these opportunities for enhanced oil recovery, CO2 capture and utilization for enhanced oil recovery. So that's going to be an interesting one to keep focused on in the coming years.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. I mean, when you were talking there, I was just thinking, okay, engineers, chemists, truck drivers, union laborists, pipe welders. I'm just all of these different blue collar and white collar jobs with aggressive, great paying salaries. Just that's all that keeps going through my mind. And it's exciting. I mean, I think that people who just do not understand the economic and even intellectual when it comes to the university side of things that the energy industry brings to this state is remarkable. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. I challenge people, if you haven't seen it firsthand, go out there and just, it'll amaze you. I mean, just kind of final question, Justin Kringsted, North Dakota Pipeline Association. How I've asked this to the governor and a few other people too. Has your perception of oil and gas, the industry, changed at all over the past, say, 5 years since, you know, we've experienced this new culture in our state? And do you have any sort of observational opinion on that?
You know, because it's such a day-to-day activity for myself, I know that I'm continually surprised by some of the technology advancements and the techniques that are being used. And we look back at previous work that I've done, that others have done, where we thought we had the tiger by the tail 5 years ago and understanding, you know, where this play was headed, and we thought we knew all there was to know about the resource and the production levels. And it's always very humbling to see these new techniques come out and realize that, you know, we were really underestimating the potential of the play. And so, you know, going forward, again, that's what keeps this exciting for anyone that follows the industry or works in the industry, is it's never static. Things are continuing to advance almost daily in this industry. So I feel fortunate to be able to work with that industry and stay up to date with everything that's happening.
To listen to the full-length interview with Justin Kringstad with the North Dakota Pipeline Authority, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out online at crudelife.com and on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
No mercy from the dead black sky. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened into sickles like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. Sun'll come up, and that little bit of strength you got left is gonna be enough. When you get to me, I'm gonna unfold my arms. So you got a place to land that's soft and warm.
I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you folks about a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. Leadership matters more than most things, and when a leader gets better, everything around it gets better too. The folks from Hatch Coaching are part of a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. You're going to want to be a part of it, folks. Right now, leadership is changing, and Hatch Coaching is leading the way. The world-class leadership summit is happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. For more information, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Now you're running on a thin line through a frozen void. No feeling in your fingers, no other choice. You are the queen of the midnight run. 11 years of dark to taste the sun. The AM radio and the dashboard light. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road.
Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with Anthony Malzahn of Aegis Flow.
Actually, is really going to be one of the more emerging job trainers in the nation for oil and gas. Information, or the amount of investment that's gone into the development of analytics at North Dakota State, for example, the amount of investment that's gone in from Northrop Grumman and Boeing up at the UND Grand Sky Center, as well as the Energy and Environmental Research Center up at UND, which has every single drilling core sample of oil and gas since 1950, whatever it is, the Laird Library. That's why everybody knows where the oil and gas is in the Bakken. North Dakota has kept soil samples since the 50s, so they know what it is. Once the technology is in place, they're able to go get the oil out.
It's heroic.
Yeah, isn't it just amazing? So talk to me about what you're seeing with this young startup in North Dakota that's happening, because you hear a lot about it. You know, a lot of awards happen, national awards as far as North Dakota being, you know, one of the top startups. But a lot of it has to do with the driving of energy and precision agriculture with technology. So talk to me about that whole scene. You're part of it. You're part of it.
Well, I mean, just from my personal experience, so back up a little bit. Our team, we actually we participated in an accelerator, something that a lot of entrepreneurs, startups will do. And this one was actually called the Clean Tech Open Accelerator.
Clean Tech?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
No, but it sounds good.
Clean Tech. Well, sustainability, the idea of the life cycle of a product. So I don't know, actually, still to this day, why we got accepted, but I was able to convince them, I guess, that we are a software platform that is an advocate for sustainability. And so we actually showed through each of these markets how can drone services, this market that is growing fast, $127 billion in the next few years, is kind of crazy. For a market that didn't exist a couple years ago at all, you know?
Obama signed, I can't remember when it was, with law, but essentially by 2020, there's going to be 20,000 drones in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how much they're lax in the laws. And so, this has been in play for a while. Like I said, I've been covering this since 2007. So I've been seeing it coming and coming and coming. And you're going to have deliveries happening. You're going to have surveillance happening.
Yeah.
Imagine the people that the North Dakota Buffalo Association is doing all kinds of testing with drones right now with herding and counting buffalo. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Bison.
Yep.
Bison. So, I mean, it's catching on well outside of precision agriculture and oil and gas. And that's where we're getting at, is that, but a lot of it is driven by those two industries.
Oh, yeah,
you know, for the most part. But talk to me about how you guys are folding this all in now, because you guys are, you guys are going in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, and so that's why we've tailored it as a marketplace, so we can actually, for the industry that needs to be serviced, for those who need to find the pilot to fly, whatever it is, take the example of construction. We need to be able to judge and estimate inventory on the fly, how deep this particular pile has been dug into. How many miles of pipe do we have left on this particular site? What does it look like in real estate? Given that upper edge to be able to get that vanity shot. A good friend of mine, Matt from Skyscopes, he actually moved his company out to Minot so that he could basically go door to door and chat with the wind farmers, because they detect deficiencies, degradations on the blades of these wind turbines. I mean, that's a tough sell, but that's just one of many. And that's not to say for the fact that you said 20,000, there's only almost 35,000 pilots, like commercial drone pilots in the United States.
Oh, wow.
About 100 to 150 are being added every single day. But the crazy thing is that there's still a shortage of pilots. I actually look at it as just an inefficiency in being able to find a pilot for a particular job. Mm-hmm. But once we do that, you're actually going to be able to see these pilots not doing this as some kind of side gig. It's going to be, I'm pretty good at real estate and I can do some construction. And, I'll try my hand at helping agriculture detect weeds, insects, or diseases, because I have a particular thermal sensor, whatever it is. You're going to see multiple industries being absorbed as a part of someone's portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's a good thing. You have these jack of all trades, these renaissance drone pilots, if you will. And that's where it's going. It really has to, because there's not going to be enough opportunities until you centralize where all the opportunities need to come from, where they need to go. So,
to listen to the full-length interview with Anthony Molzon of Aegis Flow, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, all those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Well, the nighttime lights, earth and line on the horizon. Under the soft red glow of the wintertime sea clouds. And all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll.
Music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
I can almost feel the wind blow and taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Where the nighttime lights, earth and light on the horizon. Under the soft red glow of the wintertime sea clouds. And all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
When I feel lost and separated, and every step I take falls on foreign ground, and I feel like going back to North Dakota. Take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion. Freedom that my selfish solitude provides, and I'd hate to think that I'd become a stranger to the place where I was born, where my heart still resides, where the nighttime lights, earth and light on the horizon, under the soft red glow of the wintertime city clouds. All the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you folks about a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. Leadership matters more than most things, and when a leader gets better, everything around it gets better too. The folks from Hatch Coaching are part of a world-class leadership summit happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. You're going to want to be a part of it, folks. Right now, leadership is changing, and Hatch Coaching is leading the way. The World-Class Leadership Summit is happening in Fargo, North Dakota, January 24th through the 26th. For more information, visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.